Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Ryan Cote, who owns a third-generation marketing agency called Ballantine with his uncle and two brothers, which was started in 1966 by his great-uncle. Ryan also founded Morning Upgrade, which is his passion project for raising the awareness of morning routines and personal development. Today, we're going to be discussing Ryan's journey as an entrepreneur and what he's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ryan.
Hey, Julia. Happy to be here. Excited to talk to you.
Awesome. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So where are you tuning in from today?
New Jersey. Yeah, I'm New Jersey. I've lived here all my life except for 4 years in college in Pennsylvania. But yeah, New Jersey.
Awesome. And what motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Well, I mean, you hinted at it with the Morning Upgrade. I'm like really into personal development. So like the 1% better every day kind of thing. You know, compound effect, Darren Hardy. I don't know why I'm so into that stuff. I guess it just fires me up. And so yeah. I'm like production, like being productive and feeling like I'm accomplishing things. And you know, that gets me going too. If I have a day where I feel like it's just riddled with issues or I didn't get anything done and my production is low, it puts me in a bad mood, honestly. And so that's what, you know, fires me up is being productive and just 1% better every day.
Love it. And how did you get into digital marketing?
Well, so Ballantine, it's been around for, you know, for over 55 years, and it started out as a direct mail company. So when I went to school for marketing, and then after I graduated, I became like the first marketing person at Ballantine because it was always just outbound sales, just trade shows and calling people and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I became the first marketing person there. And at that point, though, I'm trying to remember the timeline, but at that point in college, I started getting really into digital marketing, teaching myself SEO. I remember literally like my first job out of college, because I didn't go right into the family business. I remember literally waking up at 5 o'clock every morning to work on an ebook on like healthy living. Mm-hmm. I don't think I sold any, which is kind of sad, but I was learning and stuff like that. So yeah. I ended up creating another ebook later around the same topic that did sell, but this first attempt was a failure. But I remember getting up at 5 a.m. every morning, like writing the book and then creating the sales page for it. And just, you know, and then eBay and had e-commerce stores, did affiliate marketing. And so I've always just gravitated towards digital marketing. And so yeah. when I came on board at marketing for Ballantine, of course I was doing the SEO. I was doing, back then it was Overture for pay-per-click, just to bring everyone, you know, back to the past there, Overture. And and then eventually we created a digital division for Ballantine. And so that's kind of what I spearheaded. And now we have a team, and now we have two divisions of the business, direct mail and digital marketing.
Oh, that's so cool. So how do you guys set yourselves apart from other agencies?
That's actually a very good question. I struggle with that because there's like a kabillion people that do digital marketing. But I will answer your question. So the way we do it, so we do lean on the family business, third generation, 55 years. Direct mail and digital marketing, we do both very well. So there is a differentiator there for sure. Mm-hmm. And the family business aspect, the 55 years, that does seem to resonate with the types of clients we work with. We also niche down, you can tell from our site, which maybe I need to fix that, but we do niche down. We work with, on the digital side I'm talking about, we work with like industrial companies, manufacturers.
Okay.
Software as a service, contractors, you know, those seem to be our main niches that we actively pursue. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way, especially in the manufacturing industrial, that's, you know, not a lot of agencies go after that work. And then just really, honestly, like the way we communicate with clients, the way we onboard them, we really try to be part of their team. And so we have a whole process around that. Mm-hmm. And that seems to make a difference too. And so, I mean, obviously results too, but that's like a given. But yeah, that's how I would answer that question.
Very good. Awesome. And then, so what are some of the main challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis? And how do you overcome those?
Yeah. Where do I start with that one? it's really, I'm thinking about like every year we try to do things a little bit better, like the whole concept of Kaizen. If I think back to when we started the digital agency, like it feels like almost like a joke the way we were doing it. But then if you put me back then, I thought we were doing a good job. And so you don't know what you don't know. You know, the challenge is honestly, like, cause I do some of the sales is like really bringing on the right clients. Cause we've had the wrong clients and man, it just creates a lot of problems. And I'm going through something right now and it's just like, so it's never perfect. You try to do the best you can. So it's bringing on the right clients, setting expectations. That's a big thing in the digital world, of course.
Yep.
Setting expectations and then really just the process of working with the clients, managing the team's time, making sure the team is taken care of and that they're happy, all those things. Those are the things that I encounter on a weekly basis.
Awesome. And then, so how do you, what are some examples of ways that you try and keep your team happy?
So it's different now because we're remote, with obviously, pandemic and all that. We had an office, nice little fancy office. We did have the foosball table. I know it's like, but we did use it though. There was a point where we were playing it every day at 5 o'clock.
And that's so awesome.
It was actually a lot of fun. But so now we're remote. So we have a small little office still in Morristown, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's really for me and my family. The team is all remote, very happy to work remote. Now we have people moving to Virginia and Austin. They're just spreading out. It's really cool.
Nice.
So it's different now, but the way we do it now is, trying to have video calls often. We do like occasional happy hour or video. Mm-hmm. We try to get together with the team for lunch occasionally, that the people that are in New Jersey. For Christmas, we send everyone gifts from Amazon. Like they pick out a few, we pick one and we all open it together.
That's cool.
It's like small things like that. We do a book club. I have a book club this morning. We read Who Moved My Cheese? So that seems to resonate. And really just the way, like that, those are all great, but it's really how you treat them, trying to be fair and flexible, make sure they're happy. Just the way you treat them, like putting them first, especially when the client's getting really, difficult trying to, resolve it for them, they resolve some of the issues, but just trying to make sure that they know that they're taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you're really big into personal development. Do you work with them to help develop their goals and things like that as well? Do you tie that into their your relationship with your employees?
We do. I don't do it personally. I do a little bit. I'll explain. So we'll be Larissa manages the team, and so me and Larissa work together. I'm like the director of digital, and she's the manager of digital, and so she manages the team. So yes, she sets goals. We just, me and her just read 1 Minute Manager, the new version that talks about goal setting. And so we're already doing that, but we're going to adapt a little bit based on that book or change things a little bit. But yeah, they have goals. And then she checks in with them regularly to make sure that they're, reaching them. We have the book club. And so I've made it a rule that we're only going to read personal development books. Like we just read Who Moved My Cheese.
Nice.
And we're about to read a book called Sustainable Excellence. And so I made a rule, like, we're only going to read personal growth books. We're going to do this during office hours, but we're only going to read personal growth books. And they're going to be short books. They're not going to be monsters that you have to slog through, like, quick 125 to 150 page little booklets almost.
Okay.
And so that's been my attempt. And I also do a Sunday email to the team, to the whole company, actually, not just digital. And I send the email out every Sunday and it has like company news. It has quotes, personal development content, resources that I found. I do five quick points, and usually two of them are personal development related. And then they can consume it or not. It's up to them, but I try to at least, put the information in front of them.
That's really cool. I like that. I like that Sunday newsletter. That's a really great idea.
It's very easy. Like, honestly, you think about I don't want to write an email on Sunday, but honestly, what I found is that, first of all, I keep it to 5 points. So it's, and I'm emailing myself during the week. If I think of something on Sunday, it comes back to me. And so I know what my 5 points are going to be.
Yep.
What I found is that the more you do it, it gets very easy. I can blow through these things now in like 15 minutes because I'm used to writing them and I don't have to think about it. And it's like, and it's done.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten easier.
And what kind of feedback did you get from your team on that?
I get the occasional response. If I ask questions, they'll respond back. If I share a book or a video, they'll say, I watched it, it was really good. It's like a hit or miss. I'm not looking for responses. I know a good chunk of them are reading it, but they don't have to read it. They can, they can if they want, they don't have to. Mm-hmm. I'll get responses usually every week from a few people, based on what the content is.
Very cool. So if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Growth tip for the agency or growth tip for like their personal growth?
Growth tip for the agency.
So niching down has been big. I know that's like a common answer. So I'm trying to think of something different, but I was trying to think of something that actually I've lived through. But I'll say like the manufacturing industrial, what I found is not that it's the only business we go after, but it's a big focus for our marketing efforts. And we have a bunch of clients like that now. And so the sales process just gets so much easier when you're speaking to people and you can say, oh yeah, I work with, these 15 companies that are maybe not similar to you, but industrial.
Yep.
And every new client you get in that space with the case study, it just snowballs and the whole sales process gets so much easier. So I know that's a probably an answer that everyone has heard before, but I will just say that I've experienced it, and the sales process does get you. You have the logo deck and the presentation, and it just like instantly creates like that credibility, and so it's made a lot easier.
Okay, very interesting. So, can you talk a little bit more about your sales process?
Sure. So, what we typically do is we have an initial call with them just to figure out what they're up to, what they're looking for. Is this a fit? Do we like them? Do they like us?
Just to preframe a little bit. So these are like referrals that you've received, they've come to you, or are these people that you have reached out to?
It's a combination. We get our leads from all variety sources. So we do cold emailing. We do trade shows. Obviously we get leads off our website. We get referrals. Our SEO is very strong. So we get website leads. Am I missing any? Some social media, LinkedIn. Some of my efforts with Morning Upgrade. So the point is it's a variety of leads. Some that are we're reaching out to, networking, some are reaching out to, and some that are coming inbound. But the thing is they reach out, they want to have a call, they've expressed interest. And so we had that initial discovery call, usually like a half an hour, find out about their competitors and all that. And mm-hmm. if we feel like it's a good fit, well, then we move to phase two, which is I schedule the presentation usually on the first call with them. And that's usually a week or two out because it takes us time to put together the presentation. Mm-hmm. And so we put together the whole presentation with our recommendations and pricing and about us and all that stuff. It's usually 20 slides or whatever. And then we go through a screen share with them. And that's the beauty of being remote now too, because we used to focus on really leads around New Jersey, and now mm-hmm. it's like the whole U.S. And so that's been it's harder to sell through video, but it gets easier the more you do it. Mm-hmm. And so we do the presentation through screen share, and then usually they don't say, yes, let's do it. I mean, it has happened, but usually they have to think about it. And so then we set up another call just to answer any questions, and then hopefully they turn into a client.
Yeah, very good. And then do you have any tips for closing any prospects who are maybe dragging their feet or procrastinating a little bit?
Yeah. It's tough because if they're dragging their feet or they're ghosting you, there's usually a reason. I mean, there has been times where they just didn't get back to us because they had other priorities and they eventually became a client. So the way we do it is, honestly, like we follow up, like me and my cousin Josh are the ones that do the sales for digital. And so we just, I have a prospect that I'm quoting for right now that I was following up with for 18 months. Because they were going through things with Salesforce, they weren't ready, but I could tell it was a good fit. They seemed interested. They were advanced in the sale. I mean, they were getting back to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I stuck with it. And so I usually stick with it if it's worth it, if they're a good fit, even if I don't hear back, because you don't know, they might just not be getting back to you. Oftentimes it's because they found someone else and they don't want to tell you, but mm-hmm. Being polite, just checking every once in a while, sending them case studies. Now that I have Morning Upgrade, I've got the book, I've got the podcast. Now I've got a whole new arsenal of follow-up because now I can send them the book, which has actually worked, because most of our clients are business owners. And so I send them the book. I invite them to be on the podcast. So now because of that, I wasn't planning this. It just kind of morphed into this. Mm-hmm. I have a whole new arsenal of follow-up that's not just like, hey, checking in. And that's made a difference.
That's really cool. Why don't you share a little bit more information with us about Morning Upgrade?
So Morning Upgrade is it's something I started in April 2020 when the world was ending. And it has no relationship to that. I think I was just had more time in my hands. I was thinking and I just, my brain had more space to kind of just think.
Yeah.
And so I was writing blogs on like LinkedIn about personal development and marketing, but I liked writing about the personal development stuff more, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then I had the idea, I was like, why don't I try to create a business out of this and create a brand and help more people and see what I could do with it, you know? And so I started out as a blog and then I created a podcast. I did not want to do the podcast because I didn't know how to do it and it was extra work and all that stuff, but mm-hmm. I knew I had to do it. Now I love it and I've got it streamlined. I have a team that helps me with it. So
yeah.
Now I can't imagine not doing it. And then I created morning routine cards. It's like a journal type product that helps you create a morning routine. Mm-hmm. I wrote the book. What's next? I don't know. What's next is really interweaving Morning Upgrade with Ballantyne. Like I said, sending the book out to prospects and clients, inviting them to be on the podcast and just, you know, injecting personal growth into my follow-up and my relationship with them. And then maybe a mastermind eventually, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's so awesome. I love that. So can you talk a little bit, I know you're super into personal development. Can you talk about the importance of having a really solid morning routine?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in my opinion, this is my opinion, but my opinion is that every entrepreneur should be invested in their personal growth because it's really like the best investment you can make. You mm-hmm. know, the stronger you can make yourself, quote unquote, you know, the better you show up, the better business owner you are. And it makes sense, like, you know, exercise and what you consume, what you put into your earbuds. But the morning routine too. And that's like, for me, like the morning routine is the pillar personal growth habit. And yes, it's personal growth, but to me, like personal and professional life and business, it really is intertwined. It's hard to be a very good business owner if your life at home is just completely falling apart. It's mm-hmm. really hard. You know, yes, you might be able to block it out, but eventually it's going to get through and it's going to affect things. And so to me, the morning routine is like the pillar habit where I check off a lot of the boxes that are important to me for personal growth. And so for me, that looks like, you know, find out what works. I'm going to share what works for me, but doesn't mean it's going to work for your audience, but I encourage them to experiment. There's the Miracle Morning book, which started it for me. And then I've since adapted it to my own routine, but you know, I set my priority for the day. I write down what I'm grateful for. I write down what my biggest win was from yesterday. I write down who I'm going to reach out to today to say hello or to recognize or to encourage. I journal for a little bit, just get out what's on my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I read a little bit. I do a little bit of meditation and then I do a little bit of exercise. It's not my main part of it. It's not my main exercise, but it's maybe 5 minutes of burpees or whatever.
That's okay. Interesting. I love that. That's very cool. And do you have any tips for having a solid morning routine when you have kids? Because they can be a little bit distracting.
Well, I have 3 kids. The secret is to ignore them, you know, but that's not, no, I'm kidding, sort of. No, the secret is getting up before they get up. And so I get up before everyone else gets up. And my routine only takes me 20, 30 minutes. And so I get up, you know, 30 minutes before they're up. And I go into my office here and shut the door. Mm-hmm. And I start my whole thing. And so, you know, it takes work. Obviously, the kids make it more complicated. But we all have the same 24 hours. It's just how we use them. And, you know, vacation's a little more challenging, but you know, my routine's pretty slim. And so I've got my cards and stuff. And so I bring them with me and I do the best I can. But yeah, I think for me, it's like getting it right 80% of the time. I mean, since morning routines is my pillar habit, I do it most days. I've only missed probably 2 or 3 times in the last 6 months, including weekends. But, you know, if you're going to try to start a morning routine, don't stress yourself out. Just try to get it right most days. And let that habit kind of solidify.
Yeah.
You start to get really like friction. Friction is never a good thing for trying to build a habit. So just be easy on yourself and do the best you can.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day to day?
Well, I'm starting to experiment with time blocking, you know, putting calendars and putting invites into your calendar to block off time that you're going to work on certain things.
Yep.
For me, That's very new, so I can't say. I mean, a lot of people do it, so I know there's something to it, but I just it's too early for me to say that it's, you know, it's been a lifesaver. But for me, like, so I set the priority for the day in the morning. Usually it's more than, it could be one thing, it could be two or three things. And I do have like a small to-do list. And this is not for today. It's more like things that are on my mind so I don't forget. And that's in my Gmail in the sidebar. So I don't have to like keep it up in my head. It's in that little to-do list. That helps me. But being efficient, like, so this year, I've really made it a serious effort. I met with my team and I said, this is what I want this year to look like. And these are the roles. Like, I'm trying to remove myself from a lot of the nitty gritty stuff, the stuff that I just always get myself into that I shouldn't. And I don't know why I do it. So I'm trying to be more intentional and delegate it out to the team. If they need help, of course, help them, but delegate it out to them and really free up my calendar for like revenue generating activities, relationship building, like this podcast, sales, proposals, networking, things that I should be doing. And then, because I have a very good team and they can handle the rest. And
exactly.
Only jump in when I have to. And that's been really interesting. Like, my calendar this year so far looks a lot different than it did last year.
I love that. That's awesome. And I started time blocking maybe 6 months ago. And yeah, for me personally, it was a game changer. It just stopped those tasks, those big looming tasks that would quite often get rolled over into the next day. I would just block it in my calendar. And then I just gave myself permission to block everything else out, just focus on that task. And then if I need to make it a recurring task, I'll do that. And it works out really well. And I always front load my day with those tasks. So I get those ones over and done with. My calendar is always just blocked off for those specific things. And then the rest of my day is like meetings and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was listening to, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the podcast Business School by Sharon Servista, I think his name is. He had an interesting way of doing it. And I don't do this, but I thought it was interesting. He doesn't like to-do lists. And so like the thing I said with the sidebar and Gmail, he would never do that. He basically, his to-do list is in his calendar. So if he has an activity he wants to do, he doesn't put it in a to-do list. He goes to his calendar and he blocks off whatever hour or whatever he needs to do that to-do list. And that's how he handles that. I thought that was an interesting kind of twist on it.
Yeah, it's, you can't miss it. You know, if it's on a to-do list, like it's when it's in your calendar, it's just glaringly there. And it's worked really well for me. So I would definitely recommend it.
Good. Give it a try.
Awesome. Yeah. So what about any productivity tips for boosting productivity with your team? Do you have any tips there?
Well, I'm trying to, one of the mistakes we made and we're trying to fix it is that we were doing biweekly meetings with clients. Like every 2 weeks we're meeting with them with an agenda. And so the account managers would have to get with the team, like, what's your update for SEO? What's your update for PPC? And every 2 weeks, and it just, it became too much. And we were doing it for every client, no matter if they were spending a small amount with us or a large amount with us. And it didn't, like, in hindsight, it's 2020, but it doesn't make sense. Like, it was just too much time. And every meeting that we found that it wasn't really providing a lot of value for the clients, end up creating like massive to-do lists for the team, which really wasn't necessary. So we had this whole time bloat that I created, quarterly strategy reviews, again, probably too frequent, every 3 months, like these long, big presentations that, you know, what I realized is that I created too much time bloat for the team. And so this year I'm trying to like rewind things. And so far the clients have been okay with it. Cause I don't think they liked meeting every 2 weeks too. Cause like they're busy running their business.
Right.
And so I've got, right. And so I got most every client, I think a few said they want biweekly. So it's fine. If we sold that to them, then we're going to keep it. But most of the clients said, okay, monthly is fine. And, not quarterly reviews, but every 6 months. And then they even said, like, we don't need the whole team to be the whole team on every meeting too. So think about it. The whole team was on every single meeting every 2 weeks for every single client. And like, it's so obvious now that I'm saying it out loud, but now we're removing the team from the meetings, except for the account manager, of course, unless they absolutely have to be on it. So I guess to answer your question, is really just being more aware of the team's time, how much you're spending on the accounts, and just really free up their calendar to actually operate in their zone of genius, which is their specialty. And so that's been an aha moment for me this year.
That's really interesting. Yeah, just making sure you're taking that time to really analyze what processes are in place and are they the most effective process, that sort of thing, not just running on autopilot.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, where do you see Ballantyne in 5 years' time?
Well, what's actually, what's kind of interesting is that we work with, you know, we have some clients that are like home remodelers or, you know, whatnot. And so, and we wanted to diversify the business. And so my one brother and I, we all help out a little bit, but it's like his main thing. We opened up a roofing company under the Ballantyne. It's ballantynehomeimprovement.com or Ballantyne Home Improvement. And so now we are like officially roofers too. We have subs that do the work and we're more like the marketing and the sales arm.
Yeah.
And that we literally became licensed in December. We're recording this in March. And so 2022. And so we became licensed. I think it was December. It was January. I can't remember, but soon, recently. And yeah. So like in 5 years, we're going to have a really successful roofing company.
Yeah.
That we'll be doing the marketing for, of course. And then the Ballantyne, the agency. Yeah. I mean, just keep growing, keep trying to do things better. I do like the manufacturing industrial niche. I want to get more involved in that. Mm-hmm. You know, grow the team. Growth is important. So, and just trying to get better every year.
Love it. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
You know, I was going to say The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy, because I always give that answer because it is a very impactful book, but I'm reading one right now. Let me look back at my bookshelf 1 second. Yeah, it's called The Everyday Hero. It's Everyday Hero by Robin Sharma. He wrote the book called The Monk Who Sold My Ferrari. The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Mm-hmm. It's a story about, you know, personal growth and whatnot. And he wrote this book called Everyday Hero. And it's really about becoming the hero of your life. And it mm-hmm. It just documents his whole journey, all everything he's learned by everything he's done. He's a very interesting guy. If you Google his name, Robin Sharma with Ed Milet, he did a podcast. That's how I found out about the book because it's brand new. That like blew my mind. And so I had to buy the book. And so I think that might be my new favorite book. And so that's the one I'm going with.
That's awesome. I actually just started reading that book as well. I'm not very far in, but yeah. So I want to check out that podcast though. That sounds really interesting.
You're reading The Everyday Hero right now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So no, it's a good one. I'm really liking it so far.
Yeah. It's different.
Yeah, it is. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Ed Milet is probably the one that comes to mind right away. I love his podcast. It's like a very successful business podcast. He always has really good content. I resonate with him. He's like a family man, very successful. So yeah, I always find his information to be very good.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool. So I would say Trello. We use Trello, though we are looking at Monday. We use Trello to manage all our client workflow. But mm-hmm. for full disclosure, we are looking at Monday to see if it's even better option. But yeah, with all the moving parts of the agency, it's like impossible not to have something to organize yourself. And so the team really relies on that. And that's we weren't using it before, and it's been a lifesaver to keep everything moving and organized.
Very cool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Funny, I've been just talking about this on my podcast this morning. I wish I'm like fairly introverted. You know, I can have a conversation. It's not like being, you know, I'm doing this now, but I tend to shy away from, like, if I have to go to a party where I don't know a lot of people, I get anxiety. You would mm-hmm. think at 43, I thought at 43 years old, that would stop, but it hasn't. Still there. It's like, all right, I guess it's like, this is like a lifetime thing. But relationships are so important, you know? And I wish that, like, when I was earlier in my career, you know, I could have went to, like, when I was a young buck, I could have went to like the networking after parties and at trade shows. And I always shied away from that stuff because I just felt awkward about it. And I just didn't, and mm-hmm. I wish I had just gotten over myself and just said, don't be silly, just do it. You know, it'd be fine. Because like, you know, I still built relationships, but I could have been a lot better if I just put myself out of my comfort zone. Like all the stuff I talk about now, did that 20 years ago when I started at Ballantyne. I just, you know, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Lessons learned.
No, it's great advice because, it's one of those things that can be daunting, but when you push yourself out of that comfort zone, it just gets easier and easier. And then, you know, you look back 6 months ago and it's like, wow, I've come a long way. I really pushed myself for those last 6 months. And it's pretty crazy how you can grow in such a short period of time when you get outside that comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. It just gets easier the more you do it. Like public speaking is not a big deal anymore. The first time like sweating, like in the desert, you know, and now it's like, it's not a big deal because you put in the reps and everything new is usually hard because it's unknown, but yeah. Then it gets easy, you know, and it's very true.
Yep. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ryan. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and I really appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, Julia. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.